gotta talk about something that I think... Oh, hold on. Let me get my mic ready here. Hello, my children. I, for some reason, have been caught by the algorithm in Google, and it's suggesting all of these van life videos to me. I don't know why. I've never talked about van life. I guess after this podcast recording, I'll get 10 million more van life videos since our devices are listening. But anyway, I've went down the rabbit hole. I've fallen, been thrust actually, down the rabbit hole to all of these van life videos for the past few months, and they are fascinating. I've learned a few things. Number one is, you're not going to save money doing van life. The people who I see who have a van or car life that looks anything comparable to living in, as the people who do this call it, sticks and bricks, an apartment or a house, have money. They have money. They saved for 5 years or 2 years. They put away enough money. They made all the modifications to their vehicle to be able to have comparable amenities in their vehicle, meaning they can make fresh coffee in the morning without getting out of the van, vehicle, minivan, sprinter van, whatever, truck. They've got a cooler or a mini fridge so they can make breakfast, lunch, and dinner within the vehicle. And they have a potty of some kind. And you have to buy a lot of things. Most of them have Starlink, which is a very expensive satellite antenna that you put on top of your vehicle for internet when you're in the rural. I can never say that word. When you're in the outback. When you're in the boonies. So you can have internet in the mountains or in these exotic locales that the influencers love to van life their videos from. All these things cost money. They have insulated floors. They've got Reflectix in the windows to block out light and onlookers. They've tinted their windows. They've got battery power. They've got a jackery, or they've got some kind of power source that powers all their electronic devices. They've got propane tanks. They've got... It costs money, children. So much so, in fact, that I couldn't see how, you know, it's not cheaper than living in an apartment. It's definitely less safe because you only have, you know, the walls of a vehicle to protect you as opposed to stone and cement and brick and whatever your house or apartment is made out of. But all of that aside, I'm watching this. I tend to favor the black female van lifers because they're the most industrious, and I want to support their channels, and I'll give you the names of three that I follow. Abia Bina, Life with Anthony, and Nomadic Introvert. So, Nomadic Introvert's doing really well. She's got like over 100,000 subscribers and just started van lifing 7 months ago. So, I would give my views and likes and coin to Abia and to Life with Anthony. They've been van lifing much longer and don't have the numbers that Nomadic Introvert does. And I think there's a reason why, but that's for another podcast episode. I wanted to talk about something that came up in a van life video today that I think speaks to the culture. So I was watching one of them. I'm not going to go into who because it might, I don't want to cast aspersions on them, but I was watching one of them and they were talking about how they just quit their job. Now this person has had, this is their fourth job. No, this is the third job they've had in less than 12 months. And that's fine. you know, everyone has their own journey in life. This person is, you know, well over 25. And it just hit me. They were giving all the reasons for why they quit their job. And at the end of the day, you quit your job because you needed to quit your job, right? The job was too difficult for you, or you just didn't like it, or you two are not a good fit. You and your job, I'm saying. You should, everyone who quits their job should have quit their job, right? At the end of the day. But as they were going through all their reasons for quitting their job, I couldn't help but get the feeling, man, there is no, not loyalty to a company, because these companies do not care, and they will, if you are murdered today at work, they will be open tomorrow. So I have no loyalty towards corporations. I have loyalty towards people, right? And my coworkers, I feel a loyalty to, like, you know, you don't want to leave them in the lurch, because I worked in retail, so I know that whenever a person takes off, even in retail, the burden gets put on everybody else. Everyone else has to take up, like in fast food or a restaurant, I was a dishwasher, and the first day on the tank, I know I've talked about being a dishwasher on this podcast before, but my first day as a dishwasher, there were supposed to be two of us on the tank, and the other one never showed up. And they never, I worked so hard and so fast that they never replaced the other dishwasher, but they didn't end up paying me more money. But because the other one never showed up, I was doing twice the work, right? So they did pay me more money. I was making, this was years ago now, but I was making over $10 an hour, and this was back in like 2003, when, you know, that's a lot of money in 2003. That's good money. I can't remember how much I was making. It may have been 11 or something. Because I was the only person on the tank, and because I was doing such a good job. But anyway, my point is that when you don't show up to work, it puts burdens on everyone else, right? And when this person talked about quitting this another job, it just hit me that, man, everyone quits everything today. Like, nobody stays with anything. And it's like the second something gets more difficult than they anticipated it to be, they jump ship. And I see that with younger people. I'm an educator. I see it with students. And it's even as simple as, you know, they can't find something online or on a website, and they do one Google search, and if it doesn't come up, they tell you they can't find something. And I'm like, okay, well, did you try the keyword and another keyword? Did you put it in a sentence? Did you use a different web browser? And the answer is always no. So you tried one thing, and the one thing didn't work, and you gave up. It's what a lot of people are talking about, is this lack of grit. They just throw up their hands and surrender. And I'm not talking about a certain generation. Younger people do this a lot, but this YouTuber I'm talking about is not a young person. They're not old, but they're not a young person. And I'm like, wow. So grit is just gone. Just the second something becomes real adversity, not even real tough adversity, because this is a black woman I'm talking about. So, and I think that's part of the reason I'm so, like, shocked. I'm like, you're a black woman. I'm a black gay man. Like, we know real adversity. And you're going to punk out over something as simple as a hard thing at work? You know what I mean? Now, again, like, quit your job. Beyonce said, if you're not happy, get out. But it just brought up to me, I'm like, wow, people just everywhere are just quitting everything, and you kind of can't depend on anybody in anywhere. That's why, you know, you go everywhere you go, you're waiting in a longer and longer line now because everybody quit everywhere. And nobody can be counted on to come to work. And nobody can be counted on to keep their word. And people just cancel plans and they don't just... Everyone is a flake now. Like, nobody can be... You can't depend on anything. Even the mail doesn't come when it's supposed to anymore. Thanks to 45. But you know what I mean? It's just... Society is just unraveling. There's no... I mean, the Bible said it a long time ago, but tomorrow is really not promised now. You know, like, just nothing stays, nothing, no one's dependent. I mean, you can't depend on anyone. Man, I don't know how we're going to get through this, y'all. Stay safe out there, but, ooh, just, you know... There really is something about growth in sticking with something. Because it will transform you. It will. You'll become stronger, better, faster, wiser. Because you are sharpened by adversity. You know? A diamond has to be sharpened and gets its edge in the rough, right? Coal. Gets hardened and becomes like you have to go through the fire to be purified. And if you jump out of the fire the second it gets warm, you'll never be transformed. Again, I'm not talking about suffering through abuse, obviously. Don't come for me with absurdity. But the second some people hit adversity, they just, I'm out, I'm done. And that's why we're failing to progress as a society, because nobody wants to do the hard work. Hey everybody, I'm back. It's been a while. This is going to be a quickie, and I do love a quickie so much. There's ambient noise, you're just going to have to deal with that. Number one, let's get to the whole Jonah Hill, Misogosh. And I'm mispronouncing it, Misogos. People, number one, the number one not cool thing that a lot of people are doing that you really want to stop, you really don't want to do this, you need to think about it concretely before you decide to do this, stop putting DMs and private messages on blast. You wouldn't want it done to you, so don't do it to other people. Call in before you call out, okay? Go to that person. Stop being a coward. Go to that person and address them first. Now, obviously, before you get bizarre, I'm not talking about a rapist or somebody you're afraid of, actually, or somebody that, you know, has threatened to kill you. I'm not talking about those kind of situations. But this kind of internet beef stuff, go to the person. Don't put their DMs on Instagram. So I do have an issue with the woman. Now I gotta Google the woman. You're gonna hear all kind of sounds because I'm just real. Olivia Miller? No, that's his new girlfriend. Good Lord. I guess I'll cut all this out. Or do you want to hear this real stuff? Is it Sarah Brady? Yeah, Sarah Brady, the model. Beautiful woman, gorgeous woman. And she has the right to feel however she feels. Oh, let me also say, I am no fan of Jonah Hill. He said he called somebody the F word as a joke. So I knew he was garbage a long time ago. So it's just kind of funny that people are just now figuring this out. Sarah Brady. Don't put... And apparently they broke up a while ago too, right? So it's even a little more odd that she would reveal these DMs. The reason why I don't like people putting DMs on blast is because we're only getting your side of the story. Of course, you're going to edit and cut out whatever DMs you had in the conversation that you don't want us to hear, right? It's not fair. And again, I am no Jonah Hill fan, but it's not fair. And then the other issue is, we all want people to be forthcoming. That's the reason you're texting somebody, is you have a real relationship, whether it be a friendship or romantic or familial or whatever, and you want people to text you in earnest, like they're speaking to you in person, and to have a real conversation. And if we're going to foster a society where people are afraid every single text they send you is going to be open to the court of public opinion and public litigation, then you're going to get very guarded PC garbage conversations. It's kind of like when you watch an interview with a celebrity from the 70s or even the 90s, because I grew up watching Arsenio Hall, and they're real and they're raw, because celebrities didn't have publicists and corporations puppeteering them, geppettoing them over their heads, and manufacturing every word they say and preparing sound bites, etc., etc. So you got real raw opinions from stars. That's why it's so fantastic to go back and watch Mike Douglas or Jack Parr or Dinah Shore, because you have these real interviews where you're hearing the actual opinions of celebrities instead of prepared statements. Because, back then, that interview couldn't be around the world in 2 seconds. But now, this is actually a really good comparison. I surprised me even myself. Now that the sound bites in interviews are reduced to a sound bite, are reduced to clickbait, you can make or break an entire career from an interview that goes left on the Kelly Clarkson show. So celebrities don't have, they don't say anything real. They don't say anything interesting. It's all bland, vanilla, Tiger Beat type stuff that they're saying, regurgitating in these interviews. They say the exact same thing on every single show because it's going to go out, right? Same thing with DMs. You don't want that. You want people to text you real stuff, their real emotions, their real thoughts. And if we're going to be in a society where people have to be afraid of that now and say, oh, well, I better not say what I really feel, or later they're going to put it on blast on the internet, then we have fake DM conversations and fake relationships. So that also fosters that. And then the other thing is, again, I must repeat, I am no Jonah Hill fan, but I don't really see what's wrong with what he did. Now, he incorrectly used the word boundary, and that's a problem with everybody using therapy speak and therapizing every single person and diagnosing people when you have no medical degree and all that kind of stuff. And I'm against using these words outside of a clinical setting by a therapist. Unless you are a licensed clinical therapist, you should not be using all of these medical diagnoses and terms that you have no idea what they mean. You're spreading medical information. You're diagnosing people with, oh, you're gaslighting and you're this and you're this. Stop. Let's leave that in the office, right? So we use that incorrectly. But what is wrong with someone saying, this is what I need from you, and if you can't abide to this, then we're not a match? And apparently she agreed to it. So I feel like people are ganging up on him. You're hearing all the noises in my office. I hear people are ganging up on him. And again, not a fan of his. I think he's trash, pretty much. So I guess that'll, knock me out from any kind of... From what we have learned in the media, from what I have seen, and again, that's curated, I will comp to that, but he called a paparazzi, he used the F word as a derogatory term. I'm a homosexual man, I take offense to that. Right? And there have just been some other things that I've seen that just kind of... He seems like not a cool person, so, I have a bias against him, I'll put it that way. Not so much against Seth Rogen. Love Seth Rogen so far. He seems like a cool stand-up dude. So it's not like I hate everybody in that group, by the way. But I don't see what is wrong with being upfront with what you want and what you need and leaving. I mean, he put all the agency in her hand. He put it in her lap to say yay or nay to this. And apparently she agreed to it and then regretted it later, which again is her right. I just think when you start putting out your DMs, it's a very slippery slope because someone's going to turn around and do it to you because karma, she is a wicked warrior. She will cut your head off. And that's just not the society that we want. We want a truthful society, an intimate communication, and we don't want people to be guarded. I think that's my phone vibrating in the background that you hear. We're doing it real and raw here, folks. We're doing it no condom. We're just taking it raw. So you're going to hear a lot of stuff coming in the background. Okay. So those are my thoughts on Jonah Hill, Brady Gate, and moving on. Next. Riddle me this. Why do people hate Sarah Jessica Parker? Is it an Anne Hathaway thing? Did we just see her too much after the 6 seasons and the 2 TV shows? Two TV shows, the 2 films, feature films. Are we just mad at Carrie Bradshaw? The amount of hate that this woman gets online, like every single post about And Just Like That, is just a lot of people hating Sarah Jessica Parker. And when I think of what she's done for women writers, she mandates a female writing room. What she's done for actresses in terms of pay equity. I don't know what happened between Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker, and I'm trying to think of their real names, Charlotte and Miranda. For some reason, their real names aren't coming to me. They're just not coming. But, apparently, Charlotte and Miranda were fine coming back. It's just interesting how the three of those ladies, SJP, I'm just gonna have to keep calling them Charlotte and Miranda. And this is annoying to me because I know their names, but for right now, it's not coming. Oh, Kristin Scott Davis. Charlotte just came to me, and she's an amazing theatrical actress, and it's making me so mad. I'm gonna have to Google this real quick. Did I sign out on my computer? What's happening? No, it's waking up. Oh yeah, it's gonna make me. Maybe it'll come to me before I Google this. Oh, it's gonna make me do the authentication thing too, isn't it? Let's see. This is gonna piss me off so much, but I just have to get her name. Okay, that's weird. All right. Kristin Scott Davis, Sarah Jessica Parker, and I love that woman. What is her name? This is so crazy. Okay, well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. This is really gonna piss me off. She starred in Oleana. She's a great actress. They're fine. They didn't experience the set that Kim Cattrall did, and I'm not, again, this does not invalidate how Kim Cattrall feels. She has the right to her feelings. What I don't like in the media is the misogyny of enjoying a cat fight and picking sides and making it a cat fight, right? Kim Cattrall has a bee in her bonnet about SJP, but I see that she's come back for like a scene. We haven't gotten to it yet. It hasn't been released yet. I'm sure it's a scene on the phone. So I'm sure she didn't film with anybody. But how quickly our morals change when the check is large enough, right? Because Kim Cattrall had said in the news that she was done with the character and nothing could bring her back. Well, I guess they met her asking price. But anyway, just what is this hate for Sarah Jessica Parker? And I have a few ideas. Number one, Sarah Jessica Parker is what you call, I mean, she really was the journeyman actor who made it big. She was on Broadway as Annie as a child. She did theater. She did TV shows. And she was really going back and forth between bit parts in films and TV and theater until she made, is it Leaving Las Vegas? The movie where she was opposite Nick Nolte. And then she started getting leading roles. But she has a very, a striking face. Not your typical beauty, and she talks about that all the time, right? I think when people, because Lizzo faces the same thing, and please don't hear that Sarah Jessica Parker is facing the same kind of rancor as Lizzo does, but it's similar. It's an analog to it, because both Sarah Jessica Parker and Lizzo are non-traditional beauties. And I'm putting that in air quotes, right? For you to be considered beautiful in America, in North America, you're supposed to look like Winona Ryder, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, okay? You have to be thin and willowy, have the Disney sharp as a pencil nose, full lips and big eyes, right? Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't have big eyes. Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't have a thin pencil nose. Sarah Jessica Parker is willowy, and she is a white woman. So she has that going for her, in quotes. Please hear the air quotes. For the standard North American beauty type. But the rest of her face is not what Maxim in the old days would call hot. And Lizzo is, okay, black, you know, fat. She doesn't have any of the markers that the media says is supposed to be beautiful. So society gets really angry when women somehow make it through the beauty gauntlet and are praised for their beauty and style and fashion when they don't fit the mold. And I think that's a really big part of the hate for Sarah Jessica Parker. People love to hate her, and she is the sweetest, kindest person. I've run into her a few times, total stranger, and she was nothing but kind. There were no cameras around. This was before smartphones. She was gentle, kind, a doll, with no one around to see her treating me like a human being, right? Decent, kind. She takes the subway, as most celebrities do in New York, because no one cares. No one in New York cares about celebrity, so they feel safe taking the subway. So I think that is part of it, that she doesn't fit the quote-unquote traditional mold. I also think that people are angry that she is a boss. And they're mad at Lizzo for that as well. Both are executive producers of what they do. Both are really running the show and have creative control. So people hate that, as they do with Barbra Streisand, right? They call her a bitch, they call her difficult, because she's in control, right? Barbra Streisand isn't called an auteur director. She's called a bitch. She's called overbearing. She's called demanding, controlling, negative things, because she's actually in charge, right? So I think that people hate Sarah Jessica Parker because she has become known for her beauty and style and glamour when she doesn't fit the mold of what they think beauty should be. I think people hate her because she's a woman in charge. And then I don't know what the third leg of this stool is. I don't know why people have just chosen to latch on to Kim Cattrall, which is funny because they don't really. They say that they support Kim Cattrall, but every time she does a project, the ratings are in the toilet. No one watches anything that she's done since Sex and the City. She keeps getting pilots and they don't get picked up. She keeps making series that no one watches. So it's kind of like Jennifer Hudson in a way. I'm jumping around, but I'm going to get back to my point. Everyone claims they love Jennifer Hudson. Nobody buys her albums. Google it. Her album sales are always in the garbage. So you claim you love her, but when she's in a movie, you don't go see the movie. When she makes an album, you don't buy it. Now, I will say, I wish Jennifer Hudson had been cast as Elphaba instead of anti-black Cynthia Erivo, but I just
I don't know what the third leg is. But I know that she doesn't, of hate for Sarah Jessica Parker, but I know she doesn't deserve it. She's a fine actress, and I'm really enjoying season two of And Just Like That. I feel like they're finally working the kinks out. Che is still a very confusing character. I don't know what they're trying to do with Che. I don't know what they're going to do with Che. But at least Che cried this season, so Che seems like a human being and not just a selfish monster, which they did last season, so that's an improvement. Miranda seems to be kind of getting herself together. I'm just really loving it. Really, really loving it. What are your thoughts? Why do you think people hate Sarah Jessica Parker? Because I can't figure it out. Let me know. Leave a voice note. Let me know. Is it just me? Or is literally everything broken? I'm not even going to get into politics because that's a whole nother game. But, you know, yes, the Supreme Court is compromised and coming to an agreement on something, both sides giving something, is totally over. Governance is over. Nobody believes in that. Every political party believes that if they give something, it's a failure, it's weakness. So I don't know how anything's going to move forward. So politics are broken, period. But everything in society just seems broken. I'll put it this way. My father passed, as is known on this podcast, and I'm trying to get his affairs in order. They're, you know, it's the administration after someone dies that is a second, third, and fifth death. It's like he dies every day when I have to go through drama. So my father passed in October. It is July, and his tombstone memorial has still not been put into place. And without going into a whole lot of drama, there have been fits and starts, and then there was an excuse about production delays, and there was excuse about having to get the rock from the rock quarry, and that was delayed, and then the truck was delayed, and then the cemetery hasn't done this, and the memorial company hasn't done that, and this is a legit, the same memorial company that did my grandparents' tombstones did a beautiful job. Just excuse after excuse. And they want to blame COVID, and they want to blame the weather, and just all this blaming stuff. It is now, what, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. We are 9 months out from my father dying and being buried. He still has no tombstone. I took my mother to the cemetery. The grounds person measured out based on our plot card where he is, and someone else's headstone was where my father is. Now, there was no, it was not on a foundation, but someone had just like gotten a cheap marker made and sat it there. Wrong person. So the grounds person picked it up because there was no foundation under it, and that's how he knew it was wrong and moved it over. He said, this is where your father is. So now there's a huge mark where this stupid other person's headstone was, and we took a picture in front of it. My mother and I took a picture in front of it, and it's just like, why is everything broken? So I went to the, you know, office, and they were talking about, well, the monument company has, you know, teenagers who do this for a summer job, and, you know, they don't ask the cemetery before they put it down, and they throw some teenager out there with a truck of, you know, 100 tombstones to put out, and they give him $25, and they send him on his way. And I'm like, all of this is unacceptable. Also, let me say, where my father is buried is in, like, the back 40 of this cemetery against the back wall, and it's got like a chain link fence, so like you can see a gas station and another business and a parking lot beyond the wall of the cemetery. It's just like, it's so undignified, and everything is broken. And we're waiting on the tombstone, and I hope that the tombstone gets put there in a time that I can go do it, because I'm gonna gotta go because of employment that I'm blessed to have that starts in August. So time is ticking. This needs to be done soon, and I've been sending emails back and forth to this woman, and there's just a lot of everything being broken. And then I got sidetracked. I was talking, gonna start with another administration story. We're trying to get his cell phone canceled, and we went into the AT&T store to do that, and they told us in the store, we had his death certificate, everything, they told us in the store, you have to do that on the phone. We don't cancel cell phones in the store anymore. We call it on the phone, put on hold for half an hour, finally get some lovely Indian woman on the phone who says her name is Chris. And she starts the process and then asks for some kind of code. And I'm like, woman, what code are you talking about? There's no code. My parents are 80 years old. They don't have a code. They never had a code. I set up all their stuff and I don't have a code. I have the internet password. I have all this other, there is no code. Well, this woman is now saying, well, we can't close his cell phone out without a code. Then she lied, and I caught her in a lie on the phone, because she said, oh, well, anytime somebody dies, we cancel the line immediately. I said, well, that's funny, because you keep sending the bill. Then there was silence. I said, so we went into the store. They said we had to do it on the phone. Now we're on the phone, and you're saying you're not going to cancel it. So now what? She said, well, you can go into the store, and they'll do it there. I said, no. Don't do that, because we went to the store, and they told us to call you. And she said, well, they can give you the code in the store, and then you can call. That is correct. They don't cancel in the store. She admits that. But they'll give you the code in the store, and then you can call back in the store. I said, I'm not calling you in the store, so we can release my father's Social Security number in the store. Also, that was the other thing. You know, we have all his information. So I gave the woman the address, the Social Security number. I'm calling from the landline that the cell phone is linked to in the account. I'm giving her every single identifying marker that she needs, except for this stupid code. I even gave her the check number, and she had to confer it with billing from the last check that paid the previous bill. She verified that. She still said, I can't do it without the code. I said, this is insane. This is insane. Again, everything is broken. So she's like, you gotta go back to the store. So when I get back to see my mother, I'm gonna have to go back with her to the store to start it all over again, to just cancel the one phone and get the cell phone put in her name, because they got married in the 60s. Everything is in his name, because patriarchy. You know, women couldn't have their own credit cards until a credit card in their name until the 70s, 80s. So back then, every single household bill had to be in a man's name, pretty much. So it's just like everything is broken. You can't do the, you can't do A because of B, but you're not allowed to do B because you don't have A. And then there's option C, but you can't get to option C because B doesn't exist, because A, it's just, it's like an impossible math equation. And what got me upset was, this is all because everything is virtual. Everything is virtual, and everything is outsourced, right? In the old days, and I sound like a 100-year-old man, but it's a fact here. In the old days, even in the 90s, I'm not gonna even say the old day, in the 90s, early 2000s, you could go into the AT&T store and they did everything in the store. Start lines, cancel lines, you could do everything there, in person, with one individual. You could do everything in the store. Well, now they've outsourced it and moved it to India and Pakistan, and you're talking to somebody in a call center who's in the middle of the desert, who's not even in the country you're in. And it's that, it's those kinds of layers upon layers of distance and in dehumanization that make things broken, right? Because again, if this had been in person, we could have gotten it done. But because we were told you got to do it on the phone, then we get through these layers of everything is broken. And I've just been having a lot of experiences lately where it's like, B can't happen because A isn't happening, and neither one are through no fault of my own, and this is business that doesn't even have to do with me, but it prevents me from doing what I need to do because the system is broken. And it just keeps kind of happening over and over again. And it also made me think of, like, these chip cards. When they started doing the chip card thing, I thought, this is going to be a disaster. You know, you have a chip card, and every merchant you go to has a different chip card reader. Your card is perfectly fine. You know, I just go to an ATM, get money out, which I rarely have cash on me, so don't get any ideas. And when I do, I've got something for you. You don't want to approach me. Trust. I lived in New York for too long to not be ready, and you know what I mean. But these readers are old. So when you go to a gas station, or you go to, I don't know, a Target, like, the reader will say, chip malfunction, it's your card. No, honey, it's the reader. I just used this card at Macy's. You know what I mean? But through no fault of my own, because you don't upgrade your chip readers, it's saying my card doesn't work. And I gotta do the card 3 times. And I gotta swipe it, and then put it in, and then swipe it, and then put in the code. And if you do too much of that, your account will get locked up. So it's like, but it's not me, it's you, it's the reader. Because I just came from a store that has updated card readers, and it worked just fine. So it's like, again, like, everything is broken. This is a system problem that then becomes a me problem when I have nothing to do with the system working incorrectly. So anyway, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just Job with my luck, but there have been a series of events where it's the system that's broken, but it ends up hurting me as an individual because of the system. And I mean, we can go through that with anybody, right? I mean, racism does that to me. Homophobia does that to me. Sexism does it to women. Ageism does it to old people. And elitism does it to people from Appalachia. You know, like, these systems are broken. Or some would say they're operating as they are built to operate, to oppress the people they're meant to oppress. But it just seems like everything's broken right now. So what I want you to do, listener, is do just what I did. Take a deep breath. And exhale. Let it out. Because there's nothing you can do about these things, especially in the moment. Yelling and screaming at the person doesn't help, because then they're not going to want to help you because you've yelled and screamed at them. And they're not the ones who broke the system. And that's what I have to keep reminding myself. Because that human being in front of you is who you want to lash out at, but they didn't do it. You know, the girl behind the counter at the gas station, she's not the one who decided not to upgrade the card reader to make it work, you know? So, yeah, everything's broken. And it's also not lost on me that I'm coming to this quote-unquote revelation, you know, a few months after my father passed. You think you're over it, and then something just happens, and the tears start to flow. Whether it's a song, or the other day I was in a store, and I saw something that my father would like. I'm not going to get into that, but I saw something that he would have liked, and I literally picked it up and continued to shop and took it all the way to the counter. And I put it on the counter, and I had, it was like a movie. I said, oh, I don't need this anymore. And the lady said, oh, you changed your mind. And I just told her, I said, I just bought that for my father, and my father died in October. So I don't think he needs this. And she like didn't know what to do. She looked at me like, oh God. I said, it's okay, it's okay. And I bought the rest of my things and bagged them up and went to my car, and then had a total breakdown in the car. It just, it comes in waves, and you just learn how to deal with it. You learn how to deal with it. I don't think the pain will ever go away, but you process it and you feel it. I think the wrong thing to do is to not feel it, right? So that's why in the car I just let it go. Let it go, let it go. I just let it go in the car. And, I mean, let it go, girl. It was ugly cry, like, weeping in the car. And, then I went about the rest of my day. It felt good. It felt really good. So everything is broken, but we can deal. We can figure it out, because we have to. Take care. The great flood has spoken.